flourishing in life. Flourishing in life. As I've mentioned, I went to church before I was born. I've been a pastor's kid and a preacher's kid. I grew up as a missionary in India until I was 17. And then I did university education. Then we went as missionaries to Africa. And at the age of 30, I returned to England. But there's one thing that I've discovered in life, that the decisions you make determine where your life will be positioned and if you flourish or not. And the power that God has given to us, because he didn't create puppets, he created partners. And that incredible gift of choice that the Almighty God gave us is powerful. You know, I've been pastoring for many, many years, and I find it fascinating how you see two people go through very similar circumstances. One flourishes, one doesn't. And as a pastor, you can give the same input, reserve, resources, etc. But it comes down in the end of this little thing called choice, decision, alignments. I think when we were leading worship, we were in our prayer time. And Sam just sort of said, come on, let's really align our spirit. Choice. More and more in my life, I've discovered everybody has the opportunity to get seriously offended. How many of you have had the opportunity to get seriously? All of us have the opportunity to get bitter or better. All of us can either use adversity as that surfboard to actually step up or get overwhelmed. We can have a victim mentality where why does it happen to me? And I believe that actually God wants us as people to get a different understanding to this incredible gift. Choose. Choice. So I wonder if we can read Jeremiah 17. I'm going to read it from verse 7. And we're meant to get a highlight, verse 8. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. How many of you know trust is a choice? How many of you know it's often a dangerous choice? How many of you trusted and then wished you hadn't? But you see, we have to trust in the Lord who places his confidence in God. They will be like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in the year of drought, and it never fails to bear fruit. So here is a person that's positioned themselves in trust, decided to be confident in the goodness of God, and even when life hits the wall, is still able to flourish and do life well. It says in verse 8, read it with me, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters that spreads out its roots by the river. And so a key to this flourishing life is actually being a tree that makes that decision to be planted, to put it in the wetness in that river of God, and to be healthy and strong. And I was struck when I saw the emails. I know you've been Lion of Judah, and I know your sign still says it, but there's been a shift that, since I was last here. There's been a name change, and you've changed your name to Life Tree. Hence, I just thought, well, let's look at trees, and scripture are very all the way through. And actually, again and again and again, the essence behind the trees, and I've just chosen the Jeremiah tree, but there's a Psalm 1 tree that loves the word of the Lord, all the way through these trees, but all the way through, there's actually this decision process, this choice process, and this positional process that I believe God wants to speak to you. When I saw the name Life Tree, it also resonated with me. Because when I was baptized as a little girl of 10 years old in India, I had a wonderful pastor called Pastor Joseph of New Life India, and he prophesied over me, Life Tree. And so it was just really strange. You know how you just see something, you think, I've never seen Life Tree before, because it was a little bit Indian. Oh, you ready? God is making you Life Tree. And I just put it down to actually more his English. And then I see it again, because actually, not meaning to be rude, but it's not the best grammar. Tree of life, etc. We don't usually say life tree. It's a bit of a concoct. And so it's like I could hear Pastor Joe saying, and God is calling you to be life tree only. And you will be planted in this place. And you will spread your canopy. And you will be a broad tree that provides safety for people to grow up underneath you. And these little bushes will grow and produce seed that will be sent to the nations. That's my life word. And it was just as I began to pray for you, I thought you've got a choice to make here as a corporate house or as individuals of what do you want your influence to be? And actually, it's how much you put your roots down, how much you actually get tenacious in your individual lives, because no church is going to be greater than the people that are part of it. And there needs to be something. You see, I feel that God is challenging you, even as your board is now going to change. Let it be a provocation to you, because a name change on the external is not going to do anything on the internal. God is really asking you, is this a heart engagement or an external manipulation? God is asking you as a house to be internally motivated, not externally manipulated. Do you understand what I'm saying there? And that's about choice. That's about engagement. That's about, am I really going to get stuck in, roots down? You see, the foundation is choice. In Deuteronomy 30:19, you know, it's that real, come on, make a good choice moment. 30:19. This decision is so black and white. Read it with me. Life or death, blessing or cursing, therefore choose life so that you and your descendants can live. And how many of you know the choices you make influence? You see, that's what Phil's talking about. We cannot have a self-centered thing. Oh, I haven't got time for this. I can't be bothered. Let other people do it. You see, we've got to set into position a life journey that then influences children and grandchildren, education being one, health, all sorts of things. And actually, it's engagement. It's a life choice. I can't afford not to do this, rather than I can't be bothered. I believe that one of our greatest sins in the church is apathy, in the Western church. Oh, well, let someone else do it. I'm busy with my world. But I really believe we don't understand the power of the choice that we have. We so often feel, well, we're just being overwhelmed. What difference does my voice make? What can I really do? But I believe that God is really saying we are not voiceless. We have a voice. And God is asking us to make a choice. I know if I'm really honest about my life, most times it's the lack of discipline that just says, ah, I can't be bothered. Now, this is a mama in a house, and you may feel I'm having a dig at you, and I promise you I'm not. But it's things like even time. You know, it's like, is it 9 o'clock, 9:30, doesn't matter, oh, well, we'll get show up when. All those choices actually are pretty critical because it shows priority. You wouldn't do it for an interview. How many of you would turn up 10 minutes late for an interview for a job you really want? You see, it's a choice. It comes down to actually very practical priority choices. And in our life, if we really want the house of God to flourish, it's about priority. It's about really honoring the time and stuff. And I suppose I've been on a learning curve. I'm pioneering a church in Oxford. And I have a busy life. I travel the world. I preach, I don't know how many times a month. I am very responsible with my preparation and time, etc. Do I have time to get involved in a local church in initiating pioneering? Part of me went, yes, no, yes, no. But finally, God challenged me and said, seriously, girl, get rooted in. Then everything had to shift. I had to make choice. I've reprioritized my money. I've begun to give into the building fund. I will give tithes to the local house. I've rechanneled a lot of stuff and thinking Gordon needs to be released. We've restructured our day at home and suddenly different life. Why? Because if I'm going to really choose life, death, this is my house, it will have impact. But what joy. I have to say, I am loving being in dirty church again. What do I mean by that? With new people coming in, seeing them say, sorting out marriages, being on the cutting edge, because I'm a church girl. How many of you realize I love local church? I hope that comes through. I'm not just a conference. I love the nitty gritty. And maybe that's why I'm being a bit mama in the house. And I hope you love me enough to know I love. Because I tell you why I want Life Tree to flourish. I have such a sense you're at a cusp of something. And the choice you make is going to actually determine your output of what's going to happen. And God has given you a new vision, a new name, a new calling. But unless there's an intentionality and a rootedness into it, there won't be a fruitedness. How many of you know? If you're not rooted, you can't fruit. Isn't that true? And so here's this tree, and all the way through both Psalm 1 and Jeremiah 17 is you need to be rooted. So I want to ask three questions. And they're personal a bit. Are you planted? Are you planted? You see, this is where God began to get me about Oxford as it began to grow. Because I was watching my husband get absolutely planted. He's such a pastor. As soon as he got people, he's just there. They're in my house. We've got Connect Group. They've been baptized. They're in there. And it wasn't convenient because we were doing it on Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. And so usually Wednesday and Thursday are my only quiet moments at home. When I'm traveling, they're my nights. And it's like, and Gordon's saying, come on, come. Well, I don't know. Maybe I can. I had to make a choice. And God challenged me. Because, you see, many times we have what I call potted plant mentality. We're in location, but we're not rooted. Do you get what I mean? We sit in our potted plant. And I went, whenever I was there, I was there. But I was slightly spectating rather than really being earthed in. It's like they should do. As soon as you find yourself thinking they should do, can I just say then you're not really planted. We should do. And so God began to challenge. Are you really planted? You see, just like this tree in Jeremiah 17, if we're to flourish and produce fruit, we have to have our roots down in the soil to receive the true nourishment from that soil. You see, I had to get my roots down in the Oxford church. I had to really get to know people, give them time to get to know me. Not as Rachel, superstar, traveling, whatever. Just as Rachel who lives in Oxford, Botley area, doing life. Do you get what I mean? They had to get to know me, touch, handle, feel me. I had to get to know them, how to lean into this new community. My roots had to get dirty. And if I was honest, we've been there for 3 years. The first year I was pretty potted. I turned up, I was present, but I wasn't rooted. And God challenged me and said, come on, out your potted plant. You're not allowed to just be present. I want you rooted. Will you put your roots down in this place? Will you really let the soil and the land get to you? Will you let your community dirty your feet? Really what I spoke about on Friday. Will you let, for me, Oxford begin to irritate you? Will you begin to let people in their world get into your world? Will you really begin to love your neighbor? That to me is once we're planted. Once it begins to matter to us. Maybe our local school is going really weird and they're reading materialism. You know, maybe this stuff. It's like when we feel the dirt on our roots and we feel the water. And I think for many of us, we've not really learned how to be rooted. Are you established where you can receive regular nourishment, regular guidance? Are you in a place where you encourage people in their gifts and talents and help them thrive? Or is there a sense of spectator, slight independence? But all the way through Psalm 1 and Jeremiah 17, it's come on, unless you root it, you can't be fruited. And that's for all our life. And I know that God is saying, are you really planted? The next one, which concerning the tree, is are you easily uprooted? Maybe you've got out of the plant pot and you're in the roots, but as soon as the wind comes, you're not really in the soil. It's a bit shallow. So as soon as something happens you don't like, it's like your first thought is, oh, well, I'm out of here. I'm going to hold my tithe back. You know, I'm not really sure that I like this. And so there's a mentality of an escape clause rather than a grinding in. Are you easily uprooted? We've just had horrendous winds come through England. And it's really, really interesting. It's the littler trees that had been recently really rooted and dug in actually survived really well. It was the bigger, older trees who had got, as it was described, lazy because they had their roots had just gone very surface and they had managed to get enough water off the top without going too root. Because of their weight, once the rig winds came, they were the ones that caused the issues, not the younger, more vibrant trees. The younger, more vibrant trees tend to root down well. It's often the more older trees that get lazy, in horticultural terms, and just begin to spread their roots superficially. And then when trouble comes, they fall. And I wonder, you see, sometimes if we've just been part of the furniture, do you understand what I'm saying? Our spiritual tenacity gets a bit lazy. And it's sometimes really good to go away and say, am I really flourishing in life in the church? Am I flourishing in life in my marriage? Am I flourishing in life in my parenting? Or have I just got a little bit like whatever? Just letting life come to me rather than intentionally making choices. Choose this day. Make a choice. Because otherwise, we can very easily be uprooted. How connected are you with people? How independent? Again, when you're the big trees, you tend to just have your own space and your own vista. And we tend to withdraw from others. And that was the other thing. It was the big trees that were on their own in the landscape that got toppled more easily than those that had got people around them. And God is saying, come on, this is church, this is community. So I want to ask you, are you easily uprooted? And then thirdly, can you handle the weather? Well, in Victoria, you're pretty lucky. But can you handle the weather? You see, God speaks of this tree in Jeremiah 17, saying, whatever the weather, when the drought comes, when the heat comes, when the storms come, there's a consistency. And actually, there is a choice. I will trust in God, where we become internally anchored rather than externally blown. Do I like bad weather? No, I don't. Do I like it when life gets tough? No. But I do believe that God wants to put a resilience in the house of God. Because I wish I could say to you that Jesus promised, come to Jesus and you live in fairy godmother land, and it's Cinderella ever after. It isn't. How many of you know there are ups and downs? But actually, it is the way that we navigate with excellent choice, both with people and with God, those tough times that mark us. As many of you know, I was involved in a very serious road accident in 1984. Last year, it was 30 years. And thinking about it, I'm just watching my son and his wife with their little baby Annabelle, which you saw. Annabelle is now the exact age, and Jenny is the exact age when I had the road accident. And just watching them do life with this tiny baby and thinking, oh my goodness, that was Gordon and I with me in a wheelchair and a tiny baby. How in the world did we do it? Suddenly it's been a little bit the reality check. You know how I did it a lot of time? I had to be brutal with myself and just say, no, Rachel, you cannot afford to go there. It's life choices. It's day by day, moment by moment. And there is often that area within us where we want to get the victim. It's not fair. If God really loved me. You know, I just knew that I didn't have the tenacity of character to even afford to look at that. I remember saying to myself again and again, why is a luxury question I cannot afford to ask right now? Is that just avoidance? No, it was making a determined choice to trust in God. There are certain times when you just know that is not a good place for me to go. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And it's called disciplining the mind. The interesting thing that once I'd come through the depth of that storm, I have been able to look back and see the fingerprints of God and his goodness. And even though I don't like it, I have to acknowledge that it's usually the wilderness times of my life that has really put a Jesus content in me. How many of you would say your character has been upgraded? And so, you see, it's can I handle the weather? Am I making the right choices? And that, again, is where we need to be very intentional with church. Our natural, well, my natural and often human natural instinct is when life is tough, I withdraw. I go down my rabbit hole, I withdraw. And even if I'm in the church on a Sunday morning, there's still an isolation mentality. How are you doing, Sherry? I'm fine, you're fine. Really, how's it? Yeah, it's good, it's fine, thanks, bye. Oh, jump in my car. And then if you really get, because you've got relationship with the world, you find, oh, well, actually, they've got marriage problems, or they're going off to the hospital to get a checkup because maybe they got. And you think, seriously, I talked to you on Sunday. I even asked you twice. How many of you even had that sort of thing? And now I find out. But you see, we've got to deal with the isolationist mentality and build together. Let our root structures grow together, because that is actually what causes us to flourish. Give life, give support, help one another. A flourishing life grows like the cedar of Lebanon, it says in 92:12. A flourishing life grows like the cedar of Lebanon. It says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like the cedars of Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord, and so they will flourish in the courts of their God. I do believe that, of course, we trust in God and we lean into him. But I do believe that God has also designated local church to be a flourishing place. And it's not enough to just have a great God life. We need a great community life too. And that's why he gave us church. And so I really felt God wanted me to just maybe touch some of the buttons of Life Tree for you. I felt this declaration that God wants to give you as an opportunity. You see, how many of you know prophetic words are a God opportunity? But we only make them a reality when we engage with our choice. God doesn't force a prophetic word on us. We work with God by active decisions to turn opportunity to reality. And I believe that even in this shift of season, of shifting from Lion of Judah, which is a more prophetic sound cry, into more an intentional, planted, rooted, you're moving from a more prophetic sound to an apostolic sound. The apostolic, we're being a tree, we're planting, we're growing something. How many of you get what I'm saying? In that shift, you've got to get ready to build. And building is hard work. Prophetic is much nicer because it's goosebumpy. Oh, we can see all this in the heavens. You see, the prophetic has a buzz about it. The prophetic, but actually building is hard work. When you shift from a prophetic to a building, you know, let's plant a tree. How many of you know planting a tree is hard work? Digging the hole, getting the mud, staking it up, checking it. And, you know, if the weather isn't great, sticking the poo on it, sticking the water on it, digging it round, looking after it. There's work involved. You see, the prophetic is only the model. It's like the architect's model. How many of you know when the architect walks in and brings the model of the amazing building plan, everyone steps back and goes, whoa, that's cool. Especially if it's one of those really 3D amazing models. And you look at it and think, I like it. Because we love the concept and the process and the promise and the dream of God. And we look at it all. But it's when the builders move in and begin to change and make it reality, everything shifts. And I don't care how prophetic we are and how much we want to see the move of God, naturally, people don't like change. Now, I don't know. I promise you, I haven't spoken to Lorraine and Bruce, and I hope they don't mind me touching this so much, but I felt this word, number one, before any others. So I felt I wanted to bring it. But I don't know if there was any people who said, well, we don't like, why are we changing the name? What's that going to mean, etc. I don't know. But I feel God is shifting, and most of us don't like change. And especially when it's building. How many of you have ever had an extension build in your house? How many of you know that the idea from the architect was fantastic? When the builders move in, it was hell. I can't believe how builders managed to even get dust in your underwear drawer, which is upstairs in a sealed room. And I can never forget, I remember opening this and it was those pink dust of the plasterboard. I thought, seriously, it's on my underwear. And I don't know why that felt so bad, but it did on this particular day. And that's what it is. It can seem like it's only a little change, but it penetrates everything. And so God is saying, are you willing to be rooted in? And this is what I felt, this declaration. This is my season to grow. This is our season to flourish. There's an opportunity, but are you willing to put in the root system? There's an opportunity to flourish. And I'm going to finish with this in Genesis 26, 22. I'm watching the clock. Read it with me. And he named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. Why? Well, we're not moving sites, Rachel. We're still here. No, but I feel God wants to give you room in your concepts. I feel God wants to give you room and stretch your way of thinking. I think God wants to give you room to actually re-identify some of what this church house is about. I believe God wants to stretch you a little bit and re-qualify some of what you do, how you do it, how your sound comes across into community. I believe the evangelistic side is going to increase. The outreach side is going to increase. The hospitable side is going to increase. And so there needs to be a shift. And he's going to give you room to grow. And if you read Jeremiah 26, arriving in that room to grow is not always comfortable. It's unblocking the wells of opportunity. First, they came to the wells of Esek. The wells of just disputing, grumbling. And then they came to Sintnah, which is fierce opposition, angry, hot disputes. And then finally you break through and say, well, actually, we've suddenly gone from this place where it felt really intense. And boom, God's saying, now I'm giving you opportunity, time to grow. So I believe God is asking us, are we going to be courageous people who are ready to put our roots down? He's asking us, can I give you room? He wants to deal with mentalities that make us small-minded rather than big-visioned. And say, both in your personal life, because how many can see, if we don't do this in our everyday, it's never going to happen on Sunday. And so there's those intentional choices of restructuring our life. Well, I want to be rooted. I want to be planted. I want to make a difference where I live. So how's this going to look in my world, in my family, with my kids, my school gate? I tell you, school gates are one of the best places to tell people about Jesus, because most people care about their kids. It's the new day, his life tree. Let's pray, shall we? Why don't you stand with me? Come, Holy Spirit. Does that make some sense this morning? He loves you very, very much. And he says, I want you to be a tree that's vibrant, flourishing, loves life. I want to give you room. And Father, I thank you for this house. I thank you for its roots and its remnants. I thank you for the prophetic heart, the call, the cry that was from this place. And I thank you now you're asking them to stake the ground and build tree of life, a flourishing tree. And I pray that you'd really help this house transition from the prophetic season into the apostolic season and really plant and build. You know, that was the word to Jeremiah. The prophetic season was, first of all, I put you into uproot, tear down, overthrow, destroy, prophetic season. And then apostolic season. Now you will build and plant. We have to clear the ground by our prayer, our intercession, our worship, prophetic. Clear the heavens above, clear the land. But now it's life tree time. It's life tree. So I just want to pray for you. If you just feel that God's been pressing your button and you know you've got some choices to make. It's as simple as that. I just knew God got me in a corner about Oxford and said, come on, girl. Are you going to be potted plant or rooted plant? Are you disconnected or you're grounded? And I had to make some choices. Maybe there's just other choices. It's not about maybe the church thing. There's other choices, you know, which you're wavering between two opinions. And if that's you today, and you're just saying, God, I need to make a choice here and settle it. Whatever area it is, not just church, whatever area. I just felt very strongly as I was praying this morning, it's D-Day, it's decision day for some people. You've got to put your both feet in the same camp. Then I just want you to put your hand to heaven. I'm not going to ask you what that decision is, what it's relating to. But you just know God has been saying, come on, are you really going to root so you can really flourish? Just put that hand to heaven. And as you put it to heaven, just ask for God to help you. Let us just pray this together. Father, today, I ask you to help me choose life. And where I have been wavering between two opinions, let me choose the right way. I want to live and flourish. And I thank you for your power in my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now as we go for mealtime and that, make it an intentional time. A lot of you put your hands up. Maybe there's someone in this room that you feel confident to share that decision with. I usually find it's really great to get someone say, hey, I just said something before God. Can you help me do it? Let someone in your world to help you do what's right. God really bless you.
Going to make this extremely brief and I'll unpack more of it later, but in 2013 of September, I saw a wind coming through Lion of Judah. And the Lord's saying it's a wind of adversity, but he's behind the wind. And I saw that it pruned us, dead branches, cross branches, good branches. But we're at a time where we were having three services. Meta was just starting. Everything looked wonderful. And my team's wondering, what is he talking about? And yet I really do feel that's what's transpired, but I think that it's not only a name change and moving from the prophetic, it is what, you know, has been being spoken by Rachel of apostolic and a greater concern for the lost. And that we're going to become more of an evangelistic church as well. And so, I mean, she had so much good language. We'll unpack more of this at another time. But I just want to thank you for being here. And Jesus, we ask your blessing on the food and the rest of our morning. In Jesus' name, amen.